Okay, we'll go on to the Sputnik. Do you remember anything with the Soviets?
I don't remember Sputnik, but I sure do remember Shepard, and I sure do remember Glenn.
I remember them saying, oh, how bad we are Americans because we didn't get the first one in space. And that's all I remember, that the Russians did it first.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember about it.
I vaguely remember something about Sputnik, perhaps. I do remember Yuri Gagarin. I do remember vaguely that happening.
Do you remember the seven Mercury astronauts' name?
Let's see. I could take a stab at it. My dad was enamored with the space program, even though he vehemently despised JFK, being a very, very conservative Republican. He admired the effort that, the formulation of NASA and all of that. He was very enamored with it, and that was one of the few times that we were able to stay up late and things like that, was to sit there and watch that stuff. Let's see. Well, of course, it was Shepard and Glenn, the first two Americans in space. And I believe both Grissom and White were members, and I remember them because they were later killed in the Apollo accident on the launch pad. They would be another two. That's four. Let's see, there's three more. Was Wally Schirra one of the original Mercurys? Okay.
And I don't remember the other two.
I don't either.
Isn't that terrible?
Okay. Well, hey, we've got five out of seven. You could win a World Series with that.
See, I was real... I'm older than you. I'm older than Whip. And I remember I was just in awe of the space.
I was too.
Right in the heat, when I was in school. And we used to... This was like in when I was a freshman, they would let us go to the auditorium and set up a TV. It was about the size of that computer there. And we'd watch a liftoff, you know. And this, you wouldn't see anything but this spaceship, the Mercury rocket that went up. And that's all you saw when we were in school. But it was just, it was just
everything. Oh, it was fascinating.
It was the most fascinating thing in the world. And especially... I'm jumping the gun too, but especially when they went around the world, that Glenn went up,
right? I remember that very clearly. That was he actually did three orbits, not just one. You mentioned the Russians earlier. I do remember that at that time that either my folks or someone was passing on to me the thought that we won up the Russians on that one.
Yeah,
we
got the man up there first,
right? We were the first. Glenn was the first man to orbit the globe. Gagarin had not, and Shepard more or less replicated what Gagarin had done. And then Glenn orbited not once but three times, and that was like a one-up thing on the Russians. But my mother knew how fascinated I was by the space program. I remember it's one of those visual images that you remember. You remember what kind of day it was. I remember being picked up from school and getting in the car, and her letting me know as soon as I got in the car that Glenn had touched down. He had handed him the orbit three times. And, boy, that was just, wow. That was incredible stuff.
And I, even at the age that I am, anything to do with space, I watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do, too.
The space shows I love, or anything to do with space. And my kids would say,
it doesn't thrill them. Mine are the same way. And, I'll ask them about they're not even aware. And I guess a lot of it is not just the kids, I think a lot of adults as well, are not even aware when we have somebody up there doing something. And, like today, for instance, the day of this interview this morning at about 8:55, I listened to the touchdown of the Endeavor. That still gives me a sense of awe, even after all these years, to me. And I guess that's probably because we grew up in that early days of the space program, that we saw Armstrong set his foot down on the moon.
Yeah.
And even though being from a theatrical background, I can say that he blew his line. I mean, the line of the century, and perhaps that's probably, looking back generations from now, when people look back on the century, that's going to be the one thing that stands out that they're going to remember. And the guy blew his line, the line of the century.
I remember I was there watching, and how you sat up and you sat up and sat up, and it was hours before they finally showed up.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 1 or 2 in the morning in the Eastern Standard Time, wasn't it? And then all you could see was little fuzzies, all around right at first.
But then all of a sudden the picture just kind of...
popped up. You think, was this real?
Yeah.
This can't be real,
Oh, it was incredible. I was at summer camp at the time. I remember earlier that evening, late afternoon, I think, they touched down. And I remember the famous Eagle has landed. phrase and all of us watching there. And then later on, the camp administrators put up television at the end of the gymnasium and allowed anybody who wanted to bring in their sleeping bags and just stay up all night. And we just, and I remember sitting there watching for hours, just nothing going on, because they came out for a brief amount of time, you know, and then, you know, I guess they were out maybe 30 or 45 minutes, and then went back in, and then, but they kept the camera. Mm-hmm. And that's all there was for like 2 hours.
Because it was anchored on the stem, the pod,
right,
or whatever
right.
you call it.
And we just sat there. Mm-hmm. Just sat there watching.
Oh, you're afraid to miss something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you figure something would happen to them.
They had replay back then, didn't they?
No, I don't. And they had some very early, I think, video technology, but it was very, 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 very early. I don't think they had that. But I do remember, as many, many people did, and I'm sure you probably did too, is to go outside and look up and see the moon.
Mm-hmm. Where are they?
Right, and then come back in and see the TV there. You know, that was neat. I think that's why a lot of the kids take it for granted nowadays, because they just didn't grow up in that. Very exciting.
It was new. Yeah. New and exciting. Hula hoop, did you have one?
I used one. I don't remember if I actually purchased one or not. One was purchased for me. I do remember trying to do it.
And
I do remember
how
the hula hoop craze. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Absolutely. Fidel Castro Cuba's listed in 1959. You know, I don't remember anything about him. I read about him now in the history books, but, you know, nothing really comes to mind. I guess 1960, John Kennedy was elected president. I guess your daddy wasn't really happy about that.
No, and I do remember that. I do. It was very much doom and gloom around the household for that. And I think most of their frustration was vented at what was to be proven, I believe, if I'm not incorrect, what was to be proven later as actual ballot box stuffing in Illinois. And that, it, you know, the Illinois returns were very, very late, and when they came in, they were just enough to put it over. A lot of people don't realize Nixon won the popular vote in 1960, but when he was elected president in 1968, he lost the popular vote to Humphrey. The same kind of situation with a couple of key states coming in to do that. But I think that was where a lot of the frustration and anger was that they really felt that there had been some dark doings going on. I believe they finally, you know, did prove several years later that there was some shenanigans in the ballot box.
Daddy paid for stuff
in
the
movie. Yeah, something like that. Although at that time, I believe Joseph was fairly incapacitated, I believe, at that time. I believe he wasn't fully cognizant. I'm not sure. I read the one of the wasn't an autobiography. I don't know what you'd call it. An insider biography of the Kennedys. The one that was done by the nurse to Joseph Kennedy, and it was very, very interesting. And I believe at that time, I'm not sure. I don't think he was still kind of in and out at that time. I know during Jack's administration, they had to they put him in the Sunset Home or something, which was one of really the first rehabilitation centers. In the country.
Do you remember anything about the U2 spy plane, Gary Powers incident?
No, I really don't. You know, all of my knowledge about that came many years later.
Yeah. How about sit-ins, protests, segregation, Civil Rights Act? Remember any of those? Like 60, 1960.
Not really.
Okay. We've gone over Alan Shepard, Bad Pigs, Freedom Rides.
Bad Pigs. I remember my dad talking about Bad Pigs. And that was only from the standpoint that they didn't listen to Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. And that, regardless of, I think his feeling was that regardless of the party affiliation, Kennedy had called him in to advise him, which he should have done. And this man was a brilliant strategist. And that he hadn't been listened to. And I think that was... Because I think my dad, had that been successful, I think my dad would have had a much higher opinion of JFK and would have felt it was the thing to do. I mean, we put him in there. We helped put him in. And then he turned tail on us and sided up with the Russians. And we decided to take him back out and we blew it. And I think I do remember him being angry about that.
Remember the Berlin Wall being erected?
Now there is an example, and I don't remember anything on television, but I do remember it was either my mother or my dad sitting me down and telling me about it because they felt it was important enough. Being such a conservative, I mean, my dad, Rush Limbaugh would be nothing compared to my dad. My dad had made and campaigned and had made as required reading for senior level English in the local high school. I believe it was Hoover's book, The Enemy Within, or whatever, something made it required reading in the high school. That's how much of an anti-communist my dad was. And I do remember even my dad and my mother sitting down and saying that this is what communism is about. This is all that it's about right here, is that they don't want people to leave. You know, they have to put up a wall. And I remember that, but other than that, I don't remember anything.
I think as I look back, the first really thing that I remember is Kennedy going over to the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, see, I don't remember any of that.
It was on TV, Einheitsline, or whatever, right. the little statement, I am a Berliner.
One of the most famous misquotes in history. I several years ago, bought a book called Anguished English, and it has some examples in it of some of the worst translations in history. And the thing is that the German people knew what he was trying to say, but he made a mistake in grammar that is something that even a German school child had made, and that was that he said, Ich bin ein Berliner. Well, in German, you do not place an article like a in front of a proper noun. You would say, I am Berliner. You wouldn't say, I am a Berliner. And ein Berliner has a different connotation. And in essence, what he said is, I am a jelly donut.
Cuban Missile Crisis. What do you remember about the Cuban Missile Crisis?
The Cuban Missile Crisis was the first time that I think I became aware of the international scene. You know how it is, you feel like all that, you know, you know your community, and then you become aware of that you live in a state, and then you become aware that you live in a country, and then you become aware that you live in a world. And I remember that very clearly, and that's the first time that I was really, really scared, you know, about war or whatever. Do you remember the duck and cover? Little cartoon thing that they showed in the school, little duck and cover. Mm-hmm. Had a little turtle and he'd pull his head in and everything. You know, that what they showed you, jump under your school desk and all that. A lot of good that was going to do. But, you know, they showed you, get under him, don't look at the flash and all of that. And they had it all put to music and everything. It's really a hoot to look at this stuff. It's really weird to look back on. But I do remember being scared. I do remember hauling stuff down to the basement. My dad had a carpenter come in and put in shelves down in the basement. And we filled up water jugs and water jugs and water jugs and had canned food and all of this. And my parents were very scared, and I was scared. We were all scared because they didn't really want to talk about it. And that's what really, you know, normally if you ask, well, what's going on, that, you know, and if it was just a political issue or whatever, they just come right out with it and barrel out all this stuff that went right over the top of your head anyway. But this situation was is that they weren't really forthcoming with a lot of information. All, you know, it was just that, you know, there may be a war, and it may be a nuclear war. And I did clearly understand the possibility of that. And it was a very, very scary time. I remember that.
We were always afraid. We didn't have a bomb shelter. Only the rich had the bomb shelters.
Right.
Where were we going to go? What were we going to do?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it was real scary. I remember very little about it, but I remember that we were all afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I guess leading on to 1963, the civil rights in Birmingham marched on Washington, and this also was the year that Kennedy was assassinated. I guess the question everybody asks is, where were you when President Kennedy was assassinated?
Mm-hmm. I was in my third grade class, and I remember the teacher coming in. She had gone down the hall for a break or something. She came rushing in and turned on the television on the stand there at the front of the class. And somebody asked if we were going to watch something or whatever, and she said that President Kennedy had been shot. And when she turned it on, the coverage was, I think, Walter Cronkite had just come on and nationally, and you know, we were getting the information that he was at Parkland Hospital and that they were waiting and that he was in the, you know, emergency room or whatever, and the doctors were working on him or whatever. And it wasn't until later that that we found out he was dead. I'm embarrassed to say that because of such a staunch conservative background, I kind of thought, well, what's the big deal, you know? And I'm embarrassed to say that, but you know, that just goes to show what kind of an effect that parents can have on children. Because to me, Kennedy was just the worst possible person that you could ever have leading your country. And historically, I mean, we can look back and look at his presidency and realize that it was a very ineffective presidency, and he wasn't able to accomplish a lot of things. He had a It was a very similar situation to Jimmy Carter, that he had democratically controlled houses, House and Senate, and you know, the Bay of Pigs fiasco, and you know, we look back at his promiscuity, which was well known within those circles and all of that, and he was a very reckless kind of a president. But at the same time, I mean, it really didn't sink in. I found it interesting that someone could actually do that, because to me it was like, you know, growing up, you see all the Secret Service, you see all the protection that the president has, and to me it was, you know, that was where my curiosity was. It's not why anybody could do it, but how. You know, how they could actually get away with it.
Where was the Secret Service when
right. They
were supposed to
right.
protect him?
Exactly.
Well, history has told us where the Secret Service was, you know, and a lot of things that's been going on.
Yeah, it does appear to have a kind of a look and feel of a coup.